You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, sports fans, Coach Nick here, and welcome to B-Ball Breakdown and the live post-game show. Great to be here after game one. I'm ready for the season to kind of get to the end of it and see what's going to happen. We've been waiting for so long. First off, absolute miracle from the gods that somehow Giannis was able to play and actually looked really good. They threw up a lot to him on a pick and roll, and he went up and dunked it. Now, it wasn't exactly maybe as high as he'd normally get, but he looked really, really good. That knee didn't seem to affect him too much. He had one play where he planted, you know what? It's his right knee that he did it, right? But he planted, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking he planted the left knee, and then he kind of came up really hobbling for a minute there, but then seemed to snap back into action. So truly remarkable that he was able to be as effective as he was. I mean, we can go through real quickly the box score numbers to see, but basically Giannis went 6 for 11. He hit a three. He had 4 assists and 17 rebounds and 20 points total. He had 3 turnovers, and a couple of those were inopportune ones, but they weren't out of the ordinary as far as what he would normally do. He sometimes will struggle and get the ball knocked away from him, and that happens no matter whether his knee is bad or not. But for the most part, he looked, you know, pretty much the way he would normally look. He's a little bit slightly slower, slightly less aggressive, and a little bit more earthbound barely. But, I mean, that's pretty effective for what they needed. Obviously, the big storyline for the Bucks side is going to be the Brook Lopez issue, because obviously that's going to be a huge problem for them if they're going to, like, based on what we saw last night. I'll get into that in a minute. But I also want to remind you guys that over on the Hot Mic app, which should be in the description below, click on that, download it, follow me, B-Ball Breakdown. You can request to come on the show, and we can chop it up, and they'll broadcast it live to YouTube. It's one of the only ways where we can have people come on, call in, and be part of the show on the YouTube side as well. So feel free to come over there, follow me, be part of the thing. I'll give preferential treatment to the comments on the Hot Mic app for sure. But then again, I'll give the most preferential treatment to anybody who wants to do super chats over on the YouTube side. So if that's what you want to get me for, then ask me there, or just head over to the Hot Mic app, link in the description, and ask your questions directly. And look at that, right on cue, we have a bunch of people who want to come in. Let's see, Akil disappeared, but let's see, we'll get Kalen in here real quick. And Akil, come back. I don't know, it said it popped up and then it disappeared. So Kalen, we'll bring you in, we'll hit the button. You got to hit a button to accept, and then we'll chop it up for a minute. Oh, you know what, I should put on my my headset while we're waiting, because my thing. What's up, Kalen?
Hi, Coach Nick, how you doing?
I am good. I'm just plugging in my earphones so we don't get any too much reverb back in the mic. But yeah, what'd you think of the game?
Oh, that was good. I was hoping for a close game, game one, finals. You don't want to blow out.
Well, what do you think? It kind of had blowout feeling to it to some degree, didn't it?
Well, it didn't really feel like the Bucks really ever had a chance, because Suns just felt like their game. I felt like their game plan was just one step ahead. And I think a big part of it, maybe the biggest part of it, was Budenholzer's switching pick and roll defense.
That was a surprise,
wasn't
it?
What was up with that? Yeah, well, I was surprised.
I did not have that on my bingo card of him switching out right like that. And you know what? I gave him some props. Hey, let's do something, you know, aggressive here and see what happens. A bold move, Cotton. But what was your issue with it? What didn't work for you?
Well, coming into the series, looking at a lot of previews, one thing everyone's pointing out is Clippers with Zubat, same thing happened. You know, you either drop or you switch, and you've got two of the best mid-range backcourt players, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and you're just giving them either free reign to get Chris Paul to that little mid-range area for that fadeaway, or Booker and Chris Paul to switch. I lost count of how many times I saw Brook Lopez guarding Chris Paul in the middle of the game.
Right. Well, you know, what's interesting was that when they would switch that, so if you could picture PJ Tucker on CP3, which is another interesting thing, because I think I would have put Drew on CP3 and had Tucker on like Middleton or something. But then when they screened with Ayton, and then that was a switch, they just threw it to Ayton, and he would score right over Tucker every time. So that would never have worked. I'm not exactly sure why they even tried it in that alignment, because if you got PJ Tucker there and you know he's going to switch, you can't switch. You just got to do your normal drop. And the thing that I thought worked for the Bucks in the earlier series was that when Lopez just comes up a couple steps higher, that makes things difficult, you know, in a different way for CP3. They didn't even want to do that. So, it was head scratching. And listen, there's no surprise here that this, as soon as they benched him for good, like he didn't come in after that stretch. He played the 23 minutes, I want to say. Where's my, oh my goodness, I lost my. What's it called? Where did my tab go with the damn? Let me open a new one with the box score. I think he played 23 minutes. Am I crazy? Is that right?
That sounds about right.
All right, let me look here real quick. Box score. I will find that tab after the show's over. He played 23 minutes. So I'm pretty sure. So whenever he came out early in the third quarter, that was it for him. He didn't come back in. And by the way, the Bucks roared right back into the game and cut it to under 10. What do they get it to? 9, 7, something like that? Maybe even 7, closer.
Yeah.
7. So clearly, we've been threatening to see Lopez not get as many minutes, in all these series. And this is the one where I think he can't waste any more time down 1-0.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because coming into the game, you could clearly tell that it was the determined game plan against the pick and roll, because they were giving up, they were putting up no resistance against the screen, and Lopez would come up straight away and already be in a stance to defend the perimeter. So clearly Budenholzer's told them this is the way we're going to defend the pick and roll,
yeah,
which is interesting.
And here's the thing is, you can almost get away with that if you're getting some good production from Lopez on the other side. And you know what? They kind of were. I mean, his numbers were, let's see, Lopez was 7-for-14. He shot 50%, 3-for-5 from three, 17 points, 6 rebounds. So he was actually contributing, but it just wasn't enough. And even though the score was 5 or 7 in favor of the Bucks,
it seemed like Ayton was hesitant to step out.
For sure. So it was kind of working, but he actually has to be even better than that, Lopez, to justify what he's giving up on the other end. It was too easy. And they're going to have their hands full because, and by the way, Portis comes in, and I tweeted this out, like, that's the solution. He actually did nicely on two of the three ISOs they got him on off of switches. They happened to hit him, but I thought he did well, certainly better than anything Lopez could give him. So that they might want to just look at that again and figure, nah, they might not hit those shots again.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
All righty. For sure. I predict no more than the 23 minutes he got tonight.
Right.
All righty. Well, Caitlin, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me out.
All right. From down under. All righty. Let's bring in let's go with Ben. I'll go left to right here. Ben, we're waiting for you to come on in. Again, if you're over on the YouTube side and you want to chop it up with me live on YouTube and on the Hot Mic app, download the Hot Mic app, follow me, get in the stream, and I will bring you in if you just request. So we have waiting for Ben. There's a little button you got to press, and then it'll bring you in, and maybe I'll grab a Aaron Z had a question. What was up with the free throw disparity? Well, I don't think that the Bucks were creating any free throws. They were not going to the basket hard. Then they switched after they got down by 20, and you saw them really go aggressively to the basket hard, and they generated some more free throws. They got up to 11 or 12, or let's see here, how many they have total. The Bucks ended up having 16 total free throws when they only had like 7 or something for a big stretch there. So, Ben, we're waiting for you, but if let's see here. Maybe I'll bring Cooper in instead, and we're waiting for Ben. Let's see here. Cooper, hit the button there. I invite you. You got to press one more button, and that should bring you in to the show. The anticipation is – there we go. Cooper, what's happening, my man?
Hello. Hey. Coach, I was wondering if you, like, noticing, like, the whole game that PJ Tucker was guarding Chris Paul. I was thinking, why did they just put Chris Middleton on him? Because they had Drew Holiday on Devin Booker, and that would be – I think that would perfectly be fine with – because then PJ Tucker would be guarding Crowder, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why they didn't do that.
Great call. I would think that CP3 would struggle with a really long, good defender like Middleton, without question. Especially, well, what they're going to do, though, is if they put him on him, they're going to screen and force a switch, right? So I suppose they're like getting ahead of themselves and thinking, well, what's the point if that's going to happen? But I would like to see them somehow figure out a way to get Middleton on him, because if he's going to try and ISO on Middleton, that won't go as well as it's gone everywhere else with him in that, you know, second and third quarters, or the second quarter he hit a lot of points and then he lit it up again. So, yeah, great call. They need to figure out how to get Middleton on Chris Paul. But, again, if they screen him and they set a good screen, then Middleton gets rubbed off and he's not there anymore. So it's confusing.
Yeah. Do you also think it's time for Giannis to start the five? Because Chris Paul and Devin Booker, they're just waiting for Brook Lopez to switch on them. They just took their time to get their spots.
Yeah, I think that every evidence that we saw in game one tonight would indicate, yes, it's time to just go with that and start there. Now, maybe bring Brook Lopez in off the bench and give him those 23 minutes against the second unit. That might make him more effective, too. But without question, they were much better with a hobbled Giannis at the center spot. And even with Portis getting lit up a little bit there, they were still getting closer and getting narrowing that gap. So, I hate to say it, because Lopez did shoot well. But, yeah, he's not doing it on the defensive end well enough against the starters to justify.
One more question. Also, sure. If they put Giannis at the five, who would you put in to replace Lopez?
Because right, Portis is then the five, and go ultra small. Oh man, it's a problem. They're not deep, right? If you're bringing in Teague and Connaughton and Forbes off the bench from the backcourt, like that's not great for our finals team. It really isn't. They need to shore that up in the offseason. But it's probably Connaughton. He's the guy that they seem most comfortable with.
Yeah, that's all I have. Thank you, Coach.
Awesome. Thanks, man. All righty. Let's go to Ben is still waiting for Ben. Let's go to Shanku. Bring you in here. Shanku, just hit the button, bring a welcome in, and we will get you in here. Let's see here. And we got a lot of people coming in who want to request. Awesome. So as soon as, let's see, I'll give you another few seconds, Shanku, to come in here. If not, then we'll go to, it looks like, the next order would probably be like Eli, Jamie, no, Jacob. Okay, Shanku, what's happening, my man?
Hi, how are you?
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
It's Shanku.
Shanku. I figured as much. What's happening?
Yeah. Nothing much, man. Thought it was a good game. Thought Budenholzer had some flaws defensively, at least. Kind of the same problem the Jazz had, just with Rudy Gobert switching and taking advantage of that.
I hear you. Now, and then his biggest problem was he didn't adjust quick enough, right? He went with it, went with it, and then by that third quarter when they got down by 20, that was pretty much it. The Bucks, I think, are going to have trouble scoring against the Suns' defense. The Suns' defense is absolutely terrific. When you got guys like Crowder and Ayton and CP3, even Booker is giving out on defense there. And then who will campaign is small, but let's see, who am I missing? I love Cam Johnson playing defense. Certainly Torrey Craig comes in there, plays defense. So this is a really good defensive team. So the Bucks can't afford to get down by that many points. They're not going to, I don't think, score enough to stay with them. Now, obviously, to get back in the game, they did, but it was clearly one of those too little, too late situations.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like Middleton and Holiday were pretty cool tonight. And especially in like the first two regular season meetings with the Bucks and Suns, Giannis was super aggressive. So I hope to see that. Hopefully his knee is fine, I guess. So
yeah, we'll see how that goes. Middleton got hot, and that's what he does. He gets hot for brief stretches, and he was great. But yeah, Holiday was not good enough. They both struggled. I think the Bucks were overwhelmed by the moment more than the Suns were. Neither team had any experience in the finals, and it looked that way. The Bucks blew a bunch of shots around the rim, which you could argue, well, they won't miss those again. And so that might change the complexion of the game earlier. But let's look at the three-point shooting. I'm just kind of curious. The Bucks actually shot 44.4%, 16 for 36, where the Suns went 11 for 34 and only 32%. So that's another very interesting thing to see, a blowout where the other team made five more threes and shot 12% better. That's an anomaly, and I wonder if that's a thing that Bud can say in the locker room as an encouraging word.
Yeah, that is quite strange. I hadn't even noticed that.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird because they bunched those threes together in a way. I feel like when you look at it, we'll look at the later on, we'll look at the play-by-play.
Forbes had a couple.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had that one. They touted how nice that play was out of a timeout to get forward from that right corner. That is to draw up a play where that's the shot you're supposed to get. Like, I don't know, man, that's an impossible shot for a righty going to the right corner, staying inbounds, guys on him, right? He's got to catch it. And like, I mean, I don't know. So I like the movement. There was a Iverson cut into whatever, but into a handoff, but man, that was tough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alrighty.
All right. Thank you so much. And I really do enjoy your content. I actually recently found your Twitter, so I've been enjoying that. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Shanku. I appreciate you being part of the conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Please, anytime.
Yep.
All right. Now let's bring in, so here's the thing. They told me that it's in order, but I know that like Eli, for instance, has requested to come on before Kevin. So I'm going to do, but I think Jacob was the first. Maybe it's the opposite order I'm thinking of. So I'm going to bring Jacob in here and then we'll do Eli, Jamie, Rich, Kevin, and I guess Ben is AWOL here. So let's do that. Jacob, where are you, my man? Come on the show and we'll chop it up. Maybe I'll grab another comment. Jacob, what's happening, my man?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
I'm the one that I had my girlfriend call in and ask you about Chris Paul a while ago because I couldn't get on here.
Oh, well, awesome. I'm glad that she was into the game enough to be a part of the conversation. It was great.
What do you think about Chris Paul's first finals, man? I'm so excited to see him get a ring.
You know, he's on his way, one down. It's been great. Like, I always worry about those guys. Well, you know, Barkley, Malone, the guys that were so great who never won a ring. It was going to be him too. So, listen, the fact that he played so well and then he's probably the finals MVP, right? He's going to probably outplay Booker the way this is going. Although I want to say this really clearly, Ayton was my MVP this game. I thought he was the key. When he went out, that game shrunk again and the lead shrunk for them. And when he comes back in, he controlled the boards. Every role he did sucked the defense in greatly and opened up everything else. So I think Ayton really was the key here.
Right. He's got to have a good big man. That's really what the whole basketball comes to, is that big man. I mean, you can have a point guard run that. Like when Chris Paul was out, Ayton, he did good. Payne.
Yeah.
Payne. He did really good, and he kept the Suns team going. Without that big man, that's where you fumble.
Absolutely. That's why it's so nice to have. And Ayton, in my mind, as he progresses, you know, in the future, he'll become more of a guy that can shoot a three in the corner and maybe put the ball on the ground a little bit. His form looks great. I would anticipate that he would do that more and even spread the floor even more. And then the Suns are going to be, you know, I don't know how you're supposed to guard them that way. The only thing is, by that point, maybe CP3 is kind of wound down. His career is, you know, it's time to retire. But Ayton is just terrific. And it's great to see a really traditional big man, you know, thrive in this modern NBA.
I want to ask you, what do you think about Stephen A. Smith calling Devin Booker Kobe 2.0?
No, but like, listen, I think it's well established. I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan, you know, like I'm a triangle offense coach, and to see him break it off and take a really, really tough shots is always frustrating to me. But like certainly mentality wise, it's not even close, even though Booker likes to shoot it. I still don't think it's the same. And so that's always going to be a separation for me, but I would say that, okay, you know, there's a mid-range similarity there, I suppose. I would argue that maybe Kobe was a better athlete. I don't think that Booker is like an incredible athlete. He doesn't elevate over people. He seems to struggle sometimes among the trees down by the basket a little bit, and then he can draw some fouls, but, I don't know. Do you see a strong connection between those two?
Well, with you saying that, now that I think about it, Kobe used to get up there, reverse windmills, crazy, nasty. And also, I just want to say, I've never heard anybody kind of criticize Kobe's game like that as an offensive coach. And that really makes me think about differently about Kobe, because that is where the whole LeBron team player, he's better, comes from. And that has to be true with the game of basketball. There's five guys on the team that play for a reason, not just one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, Kobe was the best worst shot maker of all time. And so he would make these shots. You're like, oh, that was just like, what are you even trying that shot for? And so as a coach, it was always a little frustrating. As a fan, totally get it. Like, he's the Mamba, and he was, you know, worthy of all that respect. But, you know, there was always this notion of if he just would let the offense work for him more, then his field goal percentage would be higher. And then and plus he might have, you know, maybe the team would flow a little better around him. So he's a very polarizing guy. It's always hard to deal with it. I just don't get that same. My spidey sense doesn't tingle as much when I'm watching Booker take his shots. They're a little bit more, you know, in the flow. And as a result, I think, you know, he shoots. Actually, it's interesting to see if we compared Booker's field goal percentage, because it wasn't always that great either. But he's figuring some things out. It's great to see.
I just want to say I really love your show, man. I love your content, and it's good to talk with you and chop it up for a bit.
Well, I appreciate it. It makes me feel really great to hear that, because, you know, sometimes I get people screaming and yelling at me all through the comments, and it's nice to hear from people who actually enjoy it. So thank you.
No problem, man. I love like watching it and you breaking down, and like it helps me learn everything about the game of basketball so much.
Awesome. Well, that's great. That's why we're here. And please feel free to come back anytime.
I will. You have a good show.
You too. Thanks, Jacob. All right, let's bring in Eli, because I know he's been patiently waiting. And I can see him. He must be on a droid. Eli, come on in. Hit that with the button. And I don't know. You might get broadcast to YouTube. I don't know though, because sometimes it doesn't just give you the voice. But let's see what's happening, my man.
Hey, Coach, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just have a little bit of an echo. I'm not sure what's happening. I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about DeAndre Ayton, because you just mentioned it. Listening, I don't know if you listened to Bill Simmons' podcast, but everyone's been talking about DeAndre Ayton is playing really well in the playoffs. People were saying that like maybe now he's a top 40 player. What bothers me about that, or a really big asset on a playoff team or whatever, what bothers me more is that, like, I don't know how to really his future. I don't really see him as a shot creator on his own. So I don't really ever really see him being an all-star or anything like that. So I think that this is his, like, perfect position where he's, like, the third, like, de facto third to best player. But he's not actually the scorer. I know his field goal percentage is unbelievable, but I think it's more because he's getting easy shots from Chris Paul.
Well, that's a great thing. And I mentioned it a minute or two ago about how I thought Ayton was sort of the MVP of the game. So it's weird, right? Because he plays like, you know, a 90s center. And this is the modern NBA. You're not supposed to be able to do that. But what does work for him, he's got amazing hands, great touch around the rim. And he rolls hard. So at the very least, against the Bucks specifically, he's going to look like a top 20 player, because the Bucks are so concerned with shots around the rim that they're going to collapse on that, and that's going to open up everything for everybody else. Meanwhile, when they run it quickly enough, and he's very mobile, they can't get there in time to have any effect on him. So he's hitting those little jump hooks and being strong and down there for those little turnaround shots. But I like I mentioned before, I have no doubt, and I think it would be coaching criminality if we do not see him going to that corner next year for some threes. I think he's going to spread that out. He's got a nice looking form. I have no doubt he could get that to the 3-point line in the corner, and then maybe the next year that turns into like some catch and shoots in the wing on a pick and pop. I don't know if we get to the point where they pick and pop, and then he can maybe go break a guy down off the dribble like a cat or anything like that, like a Karl-Anthony Towns. But I don't know, man. I think the sky's the limit for him, and I would think that he should have a legitimate shot at being All-Star, you know, in the next several years.
Because I didn't really follow him in college or whatever. I don't know if he played overseas or whatever. So I don't know if he was actually good at putting the ball on the floor and creating his own shot.
Yeah, they didn't let him do that in Arizona. He was a strict, you know, yeah.
So maybe if you remember, what exactly were the Phoenix Suns looking at when they picked him first overall? So well, that was compliment Booker? That was get another shot creator?
Well, you know, it certainly wasn't like – I don't even think defensively he showed out that much in college either. And he was not good as a rookie in the NBA defensively. It's like he really has gotten terrific at that end and understands angles. And that's the key, is when you can get in positions early and you can angle the guy out towards the outside of the backboard and then you can test. Those are hard shots where you don't foul. He was just fouling guys. He wasn't in position. He was late on everything. So so that was something that they were able to develop on their own. But coming out of Arizona, yeah, very, very traditional back-to-the-basket center. But, again, you saw the mobility. You saw the hands. But you're also seeing a weird old-school mindset where, in my mind, the number one pick should be the 6'8 guy who can play defense really well and hit threes. That should be it, in maybe the Kevin Durant mold where you can get to that. Mikal Bridges, he should have been the number one. Like, that's the guy you want. And by the way, that's the same draft, I think, they got him, right?
Over Luka.
Okay. Well, Luka. I'm sorry. Luka is a 6'8 guy who can shoot and then whatever. That's what you want. So, you know, and by the way, Luka plays a little defense too. So that's the guy. So I'm thinking that what we're going to see going forward in the draft is we're going to stop seeing these teams, you know, drafting the 7-footers like that and getting the guys who have can do a lot more and a lot more versatile. Then you pick Ayton 15th, right? Or 14th. And then, you know, because you can get guys like that. But they have someone special. There's no question Ayton is special.
Okay, I just have one more question. Obviously, Dante DiVincenzo is not playing. He's been out for a lot of the playoffs. He's actually, like, the advanced statistics love him on defense. Like, they even like him maybe, like, just, like, with Jrue Holiday to an extent. I don't know, like, as good as Jrue Holiday. Do you think that, like, that would actually make a difference in the series? Do you think that – I mean, look, the injury's been changing the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you think that would actually put the Bucks on the – in favored position or not that much of a difference?
Yeah, I think it makes a difference in a couple of ways. First of all, he's a starter, and that hurts any team to take a starter off, no matter how good that starter is in the hierarchy. But also, it means we see Jeff Teague. And if you got to play Jeff Teague 10 minutes in a finals game, and you got to play Bryn Forbes 20, what did Bryn Forbes play? Bryn Forbes played 12. That's not too much, but you know what I mean? Connaughton plays 28. Like, that's really
Bryn
where
Forbes
you're
in there in the fourth.
Yeah, it's I don't know, weird. Yeah. It felt like he played more than 12 minutes, but
I mean, it's not pretty.
No, he had a one shot where he like put the ball on the ground and then tried to shoot a mid range. I don't know what he was doing, but when you have to have him in there in a crunch time, that's when you need DiVincenzo, and that's what really hurts them. So without question, it's a thing. The Suns are the most healthy team, and that's probably why they're going to win.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Coach. I love your content.
Hey, I appreciate it.
I'm always one of the first to watch your videos.
Really, what do you mean, like first ever, like way back?
No, I'm always the first on the top 500. Oh. Sure, I get the notification. I put right on YouTube.
Awesome. Well, thank you appreciate so much. It. Anytime you want to come back on. All right.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You got it. So there goes that, and then that was Eli. Let me close that button. Okay, I got a super chat. Thank you so much. The real Giannis is sending me a super chat from England, I believe. It's the pound symbol. Coach, can you believe how late Coach Bud made the adjustment and went for the small ball lineup? He let the game get away from us. Also, why can't he get Jrue to perform at his best when Giannis is on the court? That's interesting. So that was a really great video I could do, or I was thinking about doing, about you know how Jrue gets unlocked when Giannis is not playing. We saw a strip that happened to Jrue when he would try to go to the middle on a drive. Passed up a shot maybe, but he tried to go middle and you had Lopez and Giannis like in the lane. So even if he hadn't gotten stripped, he wouldn't have gotten to go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. The lane gets clogged. So that's part of it, you know, and then Giannis dominates the ball. So then that means that Jrue doesn't dominate the ball. So that's a big issue there. And so that's one, you know, a big reason I think usage rate wise, why Jrue doesn't do as well. But he's got to be better anyway. He was able to get some good shots and he's in good looks. He needs to knock down and he will. So that won't be a thing. He won't shoot that badly. I don't think the rest of the series. But I can't. Yeah. I mean, listen, I can't believe that it took Bud till, you know, what, 8 minutes ago in the third quarter down 20 until he made the adjustment to put Lopez in the bench forever, the rest of the game. So I'm not shocked by that. You got to hope that he will be more ready for it next time, or maybe just not start Lopez. I mean, we've seen like Steve Kerr go right to the small ball lineup of death right away. And that's what he should do. Why mess around anymore? So thank you so much, Real Giannis, for the super chat. Again, if you're over on the YouTube side and you want me to catch my eye, I will make sure to do that. If you do a super chat, otherwise come on over to the Hot Mic app. We got a lot of people in the queue. Let's see here. I'm going to bring in, okay. I'm telling you, it's not in order, but I'm sorry, but I'm going to get through as many people as I can as quickly as I can, so you're not waiting too long. Let's do Kevin real quick here and see what we want to talk about there with Kevin. Come on in, hit that button, join the show. What's up, my man?
Hello, hello. Coach, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, my man, how you doing? Of course, you know, game one, this the score don't really indicate the box score of the game. Suns kind of just took their feet off the gas. If you really look at me, the thing that really stood out to me is the Suns free throws to the Bucks. I mean, 25 for 26 as a team. Oh, my God, that is. And then for Ayton to go 6 for 6 as a big man, like you said, he definitely has potential to have a nice 5 to 10 foot, 15 foot jump shot if you could have a touch like that. What stood out to me is I think what makes it scary for the Bucks to go small ball is Giannis free throws. I mean, he's still not 100%. you still see, you know, when the crowd gets into it and you go one, two, he can miss one, he can miss two, and it can kind of get your team going, kind of, you know, demoralized. And then, you know, same with Chris Middleton. He's a jump shooter. I mean, he got 29 points, but it was off 26 shots. I mean, no free throws attempts. So that shows the aggressiveness of how the team is. And if I'm the Bucks, I mean, Jay Crowder, I mean, only 1 point, but I mean, he ain't going to go like that throughout the whole series. He's going to have at least a game or two where he's going to find his stroke. So where do you think, Middleton, I mean, and then Lopez had 23 minutes. I think Budenholzer, he just got to make Lopez a sixth man or something to bring, because, I mean, he did have good production, but it comes and goes. But where do you see the Bucks really make an adjustment for, like, for Jrue Holiday to kind of get his game going? Or, you know, the Suns are really a deep team, man. They're a young, deep team. So yeah. I was just wondering, what do you think really the adjustments could be for them?
Great calls on all those things. And, you know, the Bucks didn't really attack a lot of the rim that often to get more free throws. So I didn't feel like there was moments where they should have gotten more. And when they got back in the game, they actually did turn around and they started attacking and got more free throws. So obviously there's a couple things you can do as far as personnel adjustments, which would be the Lopez, you know, not playing or not starting him or cutting the minutes more. You could do strategy wise. I think that Lopez is still viable if he doesn't sink so low in that drop coverage, but don't do the switching thing. That's not going to work. They dice that up, and they were ready for it. It was weird. Like, they were as if they had gotten the game plan ahead of time. They knew right away that Lopez was going to switch, and they went boop right to Ayton down low for easy shots. So they just need to let him drop, but just don't let him drop as far. At least try that. We saw that work really well last series. Other than that, they don't have too much, because, again, you're bringing Teague and Forbes off the bench. You know, and
defensive Forbes, liabilities, exactly. Yeah,
that too. And then they're not great. Like, offensively, they're okay. Forbes can shoot, but you know, if you can create him and make him into a driver, then you got to take him out of the game. And so, so he's got his hands tied on that end, where it's not easy for him, especially like we mentioned without having DiVincenzo out there. So, but you're right, the Crowder thing. First of all, Crowder took, I would say he went 0 for 5 from 3, and at least 3 of those were just bad, stupid ideas for shots. Yeah. He should have taken them. But, you know, he's going to give you defense. He's going to make it really hard. He's going to use his foul. Yeah. So he contributed across the board anyway. But, it's a real problem for the Bucks. They have their hands tied. And obviously, Giannis, if he is feeling okay and he was moving fine, then they're going to need his normal production. They're going to need his 28 or 29 points.
Yeah, and that was the thing is, you know, it did seem like he was moving around and everything, I think he only took like 11 field goals attempts. Yeah, so I think, you know, probably fatigue and probably the knee was kind of getting to him a little bit, to where he couldn't be that more aggressive towards the end. But, he was still moving fairly well. My big takeaway is also when Chris Paul is just feeling it, he's feeling it. And I think now if I'm the Bucks, I mean, I don't think Devin Booker is, he's a good shooter, but he's still a streaky 3-point shooter. And so, as I was saying, I was thinking, like, if I'm the Bucks, I kind of got to pick my poison and kind of go under the screens and try to see if he's going to feel it tonight or something of that magnitude. But I mean, The way the pick and roll defense was for the Bucks today, it just wasn't working, especially with Brook Lopez.
I don't have a problem, you know, maybe going under a little bit and like giving different looks. There's nothing wrong with blasting him and just forcing it out of his hands. We know he doesn't like double teams. Why not do that a little bit, right? And you know, I know why you don't, because you don't want him to give up to like Chris Paul now on a 4-on-3. But you got to give him different looks. You got to mix it up. You got to work on some a little bit of pressure. Maybe take some pressure off and keeping him guessing. Otherwise, you're just letting them run their offense, and that's not going to work. They're going to get beaten 5 games that way.
Absolutely, Coach. And lastly, I wasn't able to come to the last live stream, but I know you was kind of giving the Hawks praises for the future and everything. I was trying to see, where do you think their future lies? If you had to ask me, I think their future is kind of more brighter than the Phoenix Suns or Dallas, because they're in the West, and then the Hawks are in the East, where, you know, you got the Nets. They're kind of playing for now. Kevin Durant, he's 33. James Harden is 32. And if I'm the Hawks, they got really two potential all-star wing players in DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, who really showed them some. So I was just wondering, where do you think their future lies, but along the other organizations in the East?
I did a video on this in the beginning of the season, showing them how, like, showing everybody how these guys are for real. And yeah, without question, I mean, John Collins, I got to figure out if they're going to keep him or not, but I hope they do.
I hope they do. Right.
Yeah. He's a 2010 guy that can shoot threes. Absolutely. And can, like, you know, you can lob it up to him. So, John Collins, Trey, Herder, Cam Reddish is my, I was going to do a big video on Cam Reddish before the season started, saying he's the guy to watch. Yeah. And guess what? DeAndre Hunter became that guy instead. Right. And I was
And I think they're only like, I think Hunter's only 22 and then Reddish is only 21. So the sky's really the limits. And then, you know, Dallas, you know, of course, Luka is still the best player and everything. But what makes Dallas just interesting is they're in the West. And so, you know, you still got the Warriors who might come better. Denver, Michael Porter Jr. might eventually come with 25 points per game. So I was just running. I'm from Atlanta. So I was just trying to kick in what you think their future was.
The future it's to the top. As bright as can be, I would anticipate them, you know, getting to a lot more conference finals and getting to some finals, you know, within the next couple of years. I really do.
All right, Coach. And then lastly, do you you have the Suns win this series, right? After this today, or do you think the Bucks can make some adjustments?
I had the Suns winning it for sure. And, you know, I don't know how many games. It's easier now to say after they won the first one. I would say, maybe, to be safe, I'd say the Suns in six.
Six, yeah, absolutely. Same. Okay, Coach, thank you so much, my man.
Enjoy awesome. Great stuff. Thank you.
You too.
All righty. There goes Kevin. Great call. Let's bring in Adam. Let's see here. Adam, are you there? I'm going to got Adam. I got Dilisea. I got Rich and Daniel, I guess, in that order. As long as these things stay in the same order, then I'll do it in that order. But Adam, what's happening, my man?
What's up, Coach Nick? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, you know, too. I had a fun time watching the game. It's a nice live stream. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say, I know you remember me shouting out DeAndre Ayton for Finals MVP before this stream, so I'm glad that he's Danny's MVP of the game. Chris Paul stole his 2020, but I don't know if you saw the stat with him and Kareem before he switched to Islam, but like I do believe it's either him or Chris Paul for Finals MVP if they win.
Yeah. Well, listen, he was hoovering up all of those rebounds too. I mean, he was anchoring it. They weren't getting. I mean, how many offensive boards did they get? They got 9. The Bucks did. I mean, I can't even picture any of them at this point. And maybe they probably all were gotten when he was on the bench, because everything else he just grabbed. He ended up, what, with how many? 17 rebounds total, 15 defensive. I mean, he was just a vacuum down there.
Yeah, it was – I was proud. I was proud because he was my Finals MVP going into the series.
Great call. That was a great call. And you know what? You're right. And you can see that because his gravity is so great on those rolls. And you know the way the Bucks play defense. Yeah, he's gonna end up sucking everybody in. Either he'll still score because if they're small, or, you know, that's when Chris Paul gets going.
Yeah, and I mean, his hands are so good. Like, he's already better than Rudy Gobert, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know what? That would be a good video. Who's better, Rudy Gobert or DeAndre Ayton? I got to tell you, DeAndre Ayton's defense is up there. It's not heralded enough. I should probably do a video on that just because – I don't know. What do we think? Is it rated highly? Is everyone speaking out loud about Ayton's defense now?
I mean, I don't really listen to a lot of NBA media, but, yeah, I mean, he's definitely gotten praises recently. I think what you were saying earlier, in his first year it was a mess, but now, you know, in his his third year now?
Yeah.
Like, they've ironed it out. He's learned – a lot about the angles and, you know, when to foul, what speed, stuff like that.
For sure.
On that end.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great to see. It doesn't always happen that way and that quickly, especially for the big guys. It's great to see. And I'm telling you, he's going to start – he'll be shooting threes sooner than later.
Yeah, I think so too. He's got a nice stroke.
Yeah, for sure. And so, I mean, someone mentioned that can't wait to see him shooting like 15-footers. We've seen him shoot 15-footers in the playoffs. He can do that already. So I'm just thinking a couple more steps and he's got it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's all I really had to add. If I think of any more questions, I'll send them in the chat, but I appreciate it.
Hope awesome. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. All right. Let's bring in, let's see here, DeLacy, 98. I have no idea if I wrote DeLacy, 98. D-E-L-A-S-E-A. D-E-L-A. D-E-L-A-S-E-A. DeLacy. How do you say your name? Are you there?
That's the username. My name is DeLacy.
Yeah, I'm DeLacy. All right, what's happening?
The last year, I'm good, bro. The first thing I want to talk about is how I know Giannis had a bit of issues during the game, but how impressive it was that Giannis even suited up today. Because like a week ago, I thought his ACL was gone, and like today he was able to play 35 minutes and he was effective, not to his usual level, but he was quite effective, and I think like he needs to get some props for that. And the second thing I want to talk about is Ayton. I feel like right now after like Jokic and Embiid, he's the best player of center after those two guys. Because I feel like he kills small ball lineups, and he's good enough against big lineups. So I feel like after Embiid and Jokic, it's probably him for the playoffs. I'm not talking about like a full 82 regular season.
Oh, well, yeah, I can go with that. I kind of want to look at the playoffs now to make sure we're not forgetting any other centers. But, yeah, I mean, you got to put Jokic ahead of him. Although, again, Ayton's better defensively than Jokic is by far.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Jokic will get the nod because of the offense. And then, obviously, Embiid the same way. Embiid's defense is probably is as good, if not, better than Ayton. So, yeah, I can't think of anybody else. Gobert is certainly not. Who are the other centers that we're forgetting right now that were in the playoffs this year?
I guess Porzingis, Zubac, Brook Lopez. I don't think any of them are better than Ayton.
Yeah, all good calls. Absolutely. Let's see. Can I actually call the season's summary? Where is this? Playoffs? Where are the playoffs summaries? Here we go. Yeah. So, nobody on Brooklyn, the Miami Heat. I mean, you got Bam Adebayo, but no, I think Ayton's better than Bam at this point, although Bam passes a lot better. But, it's kind of funny. It's a resurgence of centers now in a way where we thought, point guards were going to take over the league. And now we got these centers who are doing really well, too. So we're in an interesting, path on the NBA where we're all, that the ratings are down probably because we're not used to seeing the style of basketball as we're moving to something else. And we're all going to catch up. And I think it's just going to explode again.
Then I have one final question, right?
Sure.
Do you think for like the long term, okay, I personally believe that in the long term, Giannis has to move from the fourth more of a center role where he can anchor the defense, and he doesn't have another big man clogging the lane for him and his other teammates. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think what we saw in that first quarter, he went like 5 for 6, all post-ups, face-ups, and then nobody could stop him down there. Listen, he doesn't shoot the ball well. Why are you keep putting him out there, like handling the ball and like, daring him to shoot threes? He's more like Shaq when he does what he did tonight. They never let Shaq shoot threes for a reason. And so I don't think that he needs to be wandering out there either. It might be boring for him, and he might like be able to have the ball in ISO and all that stuff, but it's just not what they do, what he does best. And if they want to win, you got to get the most plays you can with him doing what he does best. And that certainly was posting up tonight.
And I think they should try and forget about him trying to shoot these and focus more on his mid-range game. That'll be the most beneficial thing to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. He's got a lot of work to do. So thank you.
All right.
Bye. All right. Take care. All right, let's bring in Rich real quick. Rich. And we'll see what Rich has to say. And we got Daniel come in, a friend of the breakdown. Daniel over from Down Under. But first, Rich, what's happening, my man?
Coach, what's going on?
Hey, we got a game down. Three or four more to go, whatever it is.
I hope not. I hope it goes 7. But
okay.
Big fan. I've been watching for a long time since I was in middle school. I'm in college now. It's crazy.
Wow. What college are you in?
Florida International.
Nice. Okay.
Down
all
Miami,
right.
Yeah.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, it was a good game. I was a little frustrated at the Bucks because of how they were guarding the pick and roll. But you get what you were talking about earlier, and I really think that they should consider aggressively double teaming Booker on the pick and rolls, especially when Chris Paul's not in the game. Force him to pass. You have to give him different looks. What do you think about that?
I'm hurting my neck nodding so hard with that. Absolutely. Again, giving him different looks is important. But, if you're not going to double him, he's going to get you in foul trouble. He got 10 free throws, which, by the way, it's only like 5 drives where he gets fouled, right? He gets the 2 free throws each. But it was enough where he hit all 10 of them, and it was getting them in the early bonus. So you have to figure out a way to get it out of his hands. Chris Paul is going to be more deliberate. You're probably going to live with those contested mid-range shots. He's good at them. He missed some in the beginning, and you thought, okay, they had a chance. But what you're not going to do well with is, if Booker is going strong in the basket like that. Now, remember, he only went 8 for 21, and it was an inefficient 27 points. So I, you know, what's interesting, you could probably argue, don't do a don't change a thing. Like, let, you know, keep him doing that. He's going to miss a bunch of shots. Maybe get, try and cut down on a couple of the fouls. You know, I think I just talked myself out of doubling him. No, I think it would be worth it at least for a couple times. Again, you got to do something. You got to be a little more aggressive on defense, mix it up a little bit. What they did tonight, giving up 118 points, I think it was a pretty slow-paced game. In fact, let me see if I can call this up right now. I want to know what the offensive rating was really quickly. Teams, traditional, advanced. Bear with me for 1 second. Advanced, playoffs, all games, last game, Phoenix Suns, their offensive rating was 138.3. So they actually, yeah. But the pace, I think, was, yeah, the pace is really slow. So they gave them everything they wanted. They did, the Bucks defense was completely ineffectual, and that's what's going to kill them. So they got to be able to do something else. Zone even. I don't know. Try something.
Well, I think they've definitely played Brook Lopez and basically Bobby Portis off the court. I think they're going to have to play Giannis big minutes.
Yeah.
If they want to win the series, which is tough considering that he hyperextended his knee. But it's tough. It's tough.
Absolutely. It is. It's good. They have their work cut out for him. Coach Bud's going to have to do that coaching thing that we, you know, that we talk about all the time.
Yeah. He's going to have to coach. But yeah, I thought the Bucks were getting some pretty bad shots too. I didn't like, it was basically Middleton taking a bunch of contested long twos. Giannis wasn't doing much. You were talking about earlier also, Brook Lopez and Giannis being out there really limited Drew Holiday and what he could do.
Yeah, yeah, that might be part of the focus of the video for tomorrow is why Drew Holiday struggled so much. It might be an interesting segment.
Yeah, I'll be the first one to watch it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
One more question, Coach. Sure. One more question. There's a little side note, but I was hearing some rumors about a DeMar DeRozan trade to the Lakers. They were talking about Kyle Kuzma, Trez, and first-round pick. I personally hate it for the Lakers as someone that wants to see LeBron win his fifth ring. I don't like it. I think he's a horrible fit for the Lakers. What do you think?
Well, let's see here. Listen, I liked how Kuzma was developing. He was passing the ball and being like a bit of a playmaker even. You know, the stats weren't gaudy for him, so I could see why they look at me like, he's not getting it. You know, to get rid of him. And so clearly they don't want Trez. Trez is a player option, and they don't want him to exercise it. Clearly, that's why they didn't play him, right? Like, if you were a team that had him with a player option, and you're like, what can we do to get him to not sign that? Well, how about this? We'll not play him in the playoffs at all, hardly, and we won't tell him why. You know what I mean? Like, that would be a good, you know, sign. Now, and the pick, they give up a first-round pick for DeRozan. Yeah, that's too much anyway. But isn't DeMar DeRozan a free agent? They just sign him regularly, right? Or all you want to do is sign and trade. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, the sign and trade. Yeah.
That's the only way they're going to do it because they don't have enough cap room. DeMar DeRozan's a tough one. He's kind of a dinosaur and a throwback to an earlier era of, you know, of a Kobe style shooter. Doesn't take threes. Defense isn't like amazing either. So, I don't think that's a great fit. I think they probably could find a better fit somewhere. Like if it was me, like Dame Lillard is probably the better fit somehow. If they could ever figure out how to make that work.
I'd rather get Steph Curry. I mean, if we're going big, might as well get Steph.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen either, but we can always hope.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thank you.
All right, Rich, thanks. All right, let's bring in Daniel, friend of the breakdown from Down Under. Sorry, you've been waiting for a while. I appreciate the patience. So let's bring him in. He's always got something good to offer. And maybe it's in the middle of the night for him. Let's see here. Daniel, where are you, my man? There you are.
How you going?
I'm good. What time is it there?
Just popped a lunch about 2:00.
Oh, okay, good. So it's not crazy early or late there.
Nah, never. It's a good. It's usually good. You watch the basketball around lunch, and then you go out and you do something. So.
Oh, nice. All right. Talk to me.
I think it's gone a bit drastic. I think game one, I expected Phoenix to win in this fashion, regardless of whether Giannis played or not. They just came off of a more brutal series than I think the Suns did. As good as Paul George was and, you know, Terrence Mann was showing, I think that the Hawks series is much more, at least even like mentally damaging to the Bucks psyche than the Clippers were to Phoenix. I think they came off the top of the series. Against Atlanta, and to me, I think, you know, I've got Suns in six, just to be clear as well, but I think the you know, got to bench Lopez, this, that, the other. I think that they're playing a bit too much. The problem with Lopez is they immediately just went from playing the most outrageous drop coverage defense we've ever seen to switching Lopez, who, like, couldn't guard me in a pick-and-roll, like, type of thing like that. So, to me, like, they don't need to have Lopez switch. That's, like, that's worse than having him play in drop coverage. Because at least in drop coverage, look, some, you know, there are days where Chris Paul's 55% shooting from mid-range ends up to 44. And you're like, okay, we live with that.
Right. Right. Right.
You just gotta. To me, you just can't have him sag so far back that he's getting his money. Like I think to me, it's you have him step up a bit further, but you have him also stay in line, protect that lob. It's very hard. Like, you are heaping when you play drop coverage, you're heaping a lot onto one guy.
Yeah.
Right. But like if you start on the side of Chris Paul and you force him to his right side because right shooter's going right, he's better at it than most shooters. But right shooter's going right, it's harder. And if you start him on that left side where he's going that way already, you force him to that side, and now you've got Lopez contest potentially. I think that would work better than just benching Lopez or, you know, because they don't want Giannis switching out and playing perimeter defense. That's not the type of defender he is. So I don't think there's any big solution that magically just changes their day
right.
compared to just playing like a bit, you know, higher drop coverage, not sure. lower drop coverage.
Yeah, and in the video I did against the Hawks, when he started doing that, they had some success. So, like, I don't know why they wouldn't have looked at that and be like, okay, let's just do that again instead of, like, right, wholeheartedly changing everything they have done for the last 4 years or 5 years. It was bold, but it just didn't seem like it was worth it to try it in the finals game. So I agree, especially because they were getting some really good offense from Lopez, and they're going to need that. That's a really tough one to balance. You know, it's funny because a lot of times you'll see the guard from the weak side bump down to the roll man. And I don't understand why the guard doesn't throw the lob every single time. For some reason, they're trained to see, oh, he bumped down properly, so I can't throw it. When what's he going to do? He's a foot shorter anyway. And we saw that. I don't know if it was Forbes or somebody. He did the proper bump down, and they threw it up anyway, and he just puts the ball in without even being bothered by anybody. So that's going to be a really key there because Chris Paul is arguably the greatest point guard at being able to decide whether to shoot it, you know, floater, step back, mid-range, or lob it. And he had it all on display tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Like, 8-7-1. Like, the only person that can do anything to contest him is Big Lopez or Giannis. Like,
yes. So Giannis needs to be a floater on the weak side to come in and try and do it. Now, I think he got dunked on, though, didn't he? Or he came over for one.
He drew a foul.
Yeah, he drew a foul on him. Right. So it's like that. He needs to get better at his angle on that. But yeah, that would be the only way to see him do that. But now you're asking him to fly in there like a Superman with half of a leg. And that's tough, man.
Yeah, I actually thought, for what it's worth, I thought Giannis played. The thing with Giannis is if he's on, what would you call him, 80, 85%, you know, he can't be your best player when he's 80, 85%. That's the problem. Like, Holiday, it seems like, can't mesh with Giannis. And the troubling thing with that is that they just gave up as much picks for Jrue Holiday as the Clippers gave up for Paul George. Like, when you're doing that for a guy like that, it makes you think, like, the Bucks were the second team in position to get a Chris Paul. And the package that OKC got for Chris Paul, as an OKC fan, I can tell you, I wanted Ayton in that package. I wanted to trade CP, Adams, in a package surrounded for Ayton. Because I think, like, Ayton's better than Adams.
Yeah.
But I think that type of system where Adams, like, they're very similar. Adams and Ayton, they both got good hands. They both seem really, really smart defensively, you know. I think Ayton's just a bit more athletic, which lets him do more defensively. But that's
Are you allowed to compliment a New Zealander?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I don't want you to get in trouble.
They're considering like building this massive bridge across. It's like a 2-hour drive across to New Zealand.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, apparently. But anyway, it's like, so just having that type of assist, like, oh, that's how good I think Ayton can be. I think he's probably still the sixth. I think he's better than Gobert. And it comes down to whether, like, you think Vucevic is better or not. I think he's better than Vucevic too. I'd have him at 4. I got Bam a bit higher just because Bam's potential to switch and play defense is a bit higher just because you're, you know, 6'9", 6'10", a bit quicker.
Yeah.
You can pass the ball a bit. But I think Ayton gets a shot and he's right there. He not even gets a shot because he's got a shot. His mechanics are really good. You can see it on his free throws. Free throw shooting's really, like, the thing that can, you know, you can tell. I just had one last question before I head out. Do you think that the Bucks in search for what they need to do to win, do you think the end Giannis start at five. You hide Forbes on Mikal Bridges because he's not taking it off the dribble, or Jay Crowder. And you think you kind of just go, all right, we're going to switch everything except for Forbes. You can't switch Forbes. They'll just hunt Forbes. But like if you can avoid switching with Forbes, yeah. Would you be happy? Would you live with that? Like, I don't think if the problem is like Tucker can't guard Ayton. He's too small.
Right. Well, absolutely can't. The popcorn machine's already got the game flow up because here's what I want to look at here, because the moment that they made the game close, where was that? Where I'm just going to tell you right now. So where is the Brook Lopez? So Brook Lopez leaves the game with 4:42 left in the third, in the midst of a 10-3 run by the Suns. And then all of a sudden, the Bucks come all the way, you know, bring it back for the next like several minutes with lineups like. So here's what we're going to end up seeing more of. But I'll just answer that question though. I bet you Lopez starts, and I bet you they have a very short leash with him in case it doesn't work. And I bet you he plays more like you described on those drops, doesn't drop as far, and they see if that works, right? And if it doesn't, I can guarantee you they're not going to ride that horse as long as they did. But then the problem is, are they going to try Portis and still keep Giannis as not the center? I agree. I think Giannis needs to be the center. I think that's where they had their best lineups. In that start the fourth quarter, it was Middleton, Connaughton, Giannis, Forbes, and Holiday. That lineup was +4 in the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. So that's probably what they're going to look at with that. Because by the way, that Portis comes in, he did nicely, I thought, but he got lit up a little bit. But as soon as he went out, and then they had that team, that's tiny. So that's like, who's that? It's Connaughton and that's Forbes and Holiday in the backcourt, and you got Connaughton and Middleton in the front court alongside Giannis at center. That did the best for him.
Yeah, it sounds easier, and it's like easier to talk about than it probably is to execute. You're versing Chris Paul, who is, you know, talent based, you know, and he's so smart. He's probably a top 5 point guard. If he wins a ring, I couldn't see him being worse than fifth, you know, if you had to rank him.
Right.
Like, you know, you're versing these guys, and like the problem with like drop coverage is it works. You know, we're heading into a league where mid-range shots become less and less valuable unless you start shooting X percent from there. I don't know what that percentage is, but by the time you start turning them around and you give them such open looks, they end up, if they can hit them at a high enough clip, which Paul, it's like we're talking Paul, McCollum's, DeRozan's, Durant's, like elite mid-range shooters end up becoming better than three-point shooters because they make enough points back and end up getting to 16 before threes get you to 15.
Well, funny that you bring that up, because I was prepping a video I was going to try and drop today, but I'll do it sometime in the finals, where I focus in on all of the clutch mid-range shots that people hit during the entire playoffs this year. It's a lot of them. And it's going to be a good video, especially because what's going to happen when they take away the threes, and I'll show you how they do that, and they wall off the paint, and so you can't get to the basket like the analyst guys want you to do. And now you have to shoot a shot that, you know, if you were avoiding those in the regular season, and now it's like under 5 minutes to go in a 5-point game and you need to hit them,
yeah.
You know, who's going to be able to hit those? It's a necessary shot.
With like 5 minutes left, and it was Cam Johnson for a mid-range. I'm like, that's off. He doesn't shoot mid-range jumpers. He hit it, but it was just, you know, there's that precedent where, like, I don't think Jay Crowder could be able to catch the ball on the right corner. Someone's closing out at him. He takes two dribbles and he dribbles. I think he'd brick that shot 9 times out of 10.
For sure.
Like, there's just the lack of training on that shot.
Yeah.
And I think that's a direction where defenses are heading to. But I think that once there are people who can hit those shots consistently, I think we'll just see an all-around boost in scoring. And like, it'd be one of those fun simulation things if you like did it on like 2K, where you like set the shot clock to 20 seconds and you just see how many points you could score. But like, everybody can't hit shots because the defense can't stop it.
Absolutely. That's where we're going to for sure. Five guys, all 40% 3-point shooters, you can put the ball on the ground. That's going to be wild.
Yeah. We'll see what happens then.
All right, Daniel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. All righty. We got three more people to come in here. The show is getting a little bit long in the tooth, so let's wrap it up here. But we'll get Bulletproof B-Ball is up first. And then we got Pedro, and then we got Nelson. So Bulletproof, what's happening, my man? I wonder how one would make a Bulletproof basketball that actually dribbled. To me, would not dribble. It would not bounce. Buzzer beater. Sorry, we have a quick take care of business here. Thank you so much for the super chat. Was I surprised how few MVP votes CP3 got? How many did he get? What did he? Can someone tell me maybe like in one of the chats where he finished? Because I don't remember now where CP3 finished in the MVP voting. So someone tell me that, and I'll get that. Bulletproof, I hear you. JD, are you there?
Hey, Coach.
How's it going?
Yeah, not bad. I just had one little question on a foul call. In the third quarter, about 6 minutes in, Devin Booker goes for that mid-range jump shot, and he's turning, like he's going to his right turning, and it's called the offensive foul. But
yes.
For me, that's a complete natural shooting motion. You know, watching people like Kobe and MJ, when they're going over their left shoulder, you have to kick that leg out to get the momentum to align your right shoulder to the wrist. And it just, it frustrated me to no end when he got that call, because that was a 5-point swing at that time.
Without question. And I teach this, and I've had videos on the show where hopefully you've seen it, where, yes, you the right leg kicks out and comes up to control the amount of turn in air you need to have when you're going to your right. And without question. Now, did it get a little bit higher than maybe normally? Maybe. It's hard to do whatever. But here's my problem. That rule that they instituted for that kick out isn't for that shot. It's for the times when they kick out, like, to the side a little bit more. You know, and that's why they haven't figured that out. It's really frustrating. And I don't think they need someone like me or a shooting coach or somebody to go talk to the referees and explain to them what that means. Because you're right. I've seen that called as an offensive foul when it's the normal sway of your feet, especially going to the right. So great call. I probably should have posted on Twitter too, but it ended up being whatever. But I think we just lost him for a second, but let's see if it comes back in. Maybe he wasn't finished. Let's try that again. I don't know what happened to you, JD. Well, if you hit the button and whenever come back in, we can bring it back in and finish that. But great call on that one. It was not a good call. That's not what that offensive foul is called for. You're back. What's happening? Are you back?
Oh, I just crashed. Yeah, because like as a shooter, when you know that's what you have to do to shoot, and you see your ref hit the foul, it hurts the head.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. So the referees just need more education. Hopefully they'll get better training with it. And we'll see it called appropriately, which is, definitely when the guys are flying by and they kick their foot out to the side and that stuff, that's when it gets to be a problem.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Talk soon.
7-8 years. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
I appreciate it. Great call. Great question. All righty. Let's get to Pedro and I'll get to Nelson. And then we are going to wrap this thing up. So we got a lot of people here already still. This is great. Pedro, we're going to bring you in the show. Let's chop it up for a minute or two, and we'll get to Nelson, and then we will do our sign-off. Let's see here. Pedro, where are you? Hit that button. Join. Here we are. Hey, what's up, my man?
Hi, Coach. Hi. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to talk about roster construction for championship teams. Why do you think that teams like the Bucks, who have their superstar in the four position, don't go in harder, treating Giannis like a center? Why do they have Brook Lopez in the first place, investing that money and having those questions asked now?
Well, they unlocked something, 3 years ago when they decided to make Giannis more of a point guard. And then I think that's when Lopez had first gotten there. So there was something there that really, really seemed to work. But when the teams are now prepared for you in the playoffs and it slows down a little bit where you're not getting all the transition buckets like he normally gets, well, that's the problem, right? So the regular season, it works really well because you're getting a lot of fast transition buckets where he can really excel. It's when you get into the half court where if he's not going to play the center position like we saw tonight in the first quarter, yes, he can be completely and utterly limited. Giannis can. So that was why I always felt like they needed to have a better number one scorer. They needed to have gotten like the James Harden. Jrue Holiday isn't that guy. He's much more complimentary. They needed to get a guy like Dame or like Harden since he was available. And I suppose they just didn't realize that. They probably didn't have the assets either to kind of put together a package. But when you have a Giannis and you realize after enough years in the playoffs that this is not working as your point guard, you need to have someone to play that role. That said, they got all the way to the finals. So it's not a complete loss. They actually are getting closer than they had been in years past. So something was working better. Although that said, the injuries this year were so devastating to so many teams that who knows what the real story is, you know, until we get to next year.
I just think that having a center alongside a guy that 2 years ago he was fine in the perimeter, but right now it feels like it's just not working anymore. You feel like the Lakers route, where they pay very cheap money for a starting center, and when push comes to serve, they just bench Dwight Howard or bench Drummond and start AD at the five. Do you think that is more sustainable, more championship?
Yeah, I mean, the more skill you have with the basketball at the five position, the better you are. You just have a much more of an advantage, which is why, you know, when Lopez can shoot threes, that's something that really does help them. But that position still needs to be able to play some defense and be more effective than what Lopez was. But there's no question, yeah, when you get an AD in that role, it does change the entire game. It makes it much harder to guard, and then all of a sudden you're scoring more, so your defense is better because you're in position back because you're scoring more, and so it's all a cascading thing. So when that's a big difference for them. And again, Lopez was good on offense tonight, but just not quite good enough compared to what he was giving up on the other end.
I feel like 17 points in 20 something minutes, it's a really good game, but even the other players were being impaired for his presence there. Drew can't do anything penetrating when you have two guys around the lane.
Absolutely. And
his flaws are mitigated during the regular season, but during the playoffs, they are so much more exposed. Do you think that teams are online business? Do you think that regular season is more valuable to teams than we, the casual fans, give it credit for?
You know, it's a great question. You know, because maybe the Bucks will be happy with being the number one seed or number two seed, winning a lot of games, you know, being tough in the playoffs and losing the second round. You know, for a lot of small market teams, that's good. Like the Jazz are kind of in that situation right now. But I don't know. As far as I could tell, the title is their goal. And if they want to keep Giannis in Milwaukee long term, then they have to really put their best foot forward to win a title, not just be really great in the regular season. So, you know, with that in mind, I have to imagine, yeah, they want to win the whole thing, and it's not going to be enough for them to simply, you know, get knocked out in the playoffs every year like they've been doing.
Nice. Thanks for having me, Coach.
You got it. Thanks, Pedro. All righty, let's get to Nelson as we wrap this up. Hopefully you're still there. It's been a little bit of a wait, but thank you for being there. And then let me just quickly, so CP3 didn't get any number one votes, it looks like, for MVP. I get it. You know, the Jokic storyline had been written early on in the season, and there wasn't much that's going to stop him from getting it. So that's just the narrative. It takes hold no matter what anybody else does. But CP3 was good. I would probably still have given it to Jokic as far as the regular season. I think he had a better year. So Nelson, what's happening?
Hey Coach, great to talk to you again. Last time we talked about like some high school basketball, like some shot creation, you know, how to become a better player. So two things I wanna say before like we get to that topic. So like first of all, I think five out is not actually the best spacing possible. Why? Because I think gap spacing is actually very, very underrated. That's why teams have been able to wall Giannis off. That's why Westbrook Harden, the 5-out scheme, hasn't really succeeded last year. That's also due to, you know, the Lakers' defense, how they keep doubling Harden and recovering to their shooters, right? But I think in the regular season this year, what the Bucks have done was they put Drew in the dunker spot and Brook Lopez on a perimeter. That way they bring the big out of the paint while also not having 5-out spacing, while Drew's man is the rim protector. And that's why this regular season they've actually had some success with that, and they actually haven't been doing it in the playoffs. So I think they should start doing that, and maybe they can win a game game that's, or two, and yeah.
That's fascinating. I mean, I'm trying to picture that in my head right now. I mean, I certainly can picture Brook Lopez spacing to the wing or to the corner and getting out of the perimeter. But I'm trying to picture Drew Holiday in a dunker spot. That's really interesting. And yeah, that for sure. We saw that tonight actually a little bit where they would run like the Spain pick and roll. The Suns finally ran a little bit more with Chris Paul out there. And what they were doing was, yeah, they were luring the small guard to have to be the guy protecting the rim, and they simply wasn't going to work. And they got a lot of easy shots that way. So the Suns did that. Now the Bucks, wow, I can't picture that. But that's a great call. I'll have to dive into the footage and try and find that.
Yeah, I've actually seen that from the channel Half Court Hoops.
Coach Gibb, all right, we'll give him a shout out for sure.
Yeah, so I've seen that. Yeah. So that's just my thought on the game. And then some questions about, you know, being better as a player. So I've been, like, trying to train having a tighter handle as a guard. So the secret to a tight handle, is it hand-eye coordination? Is it, like, Kirby, for example, he has small hands, right? KD, right.
Well, you know, I've had a fair amount of experience working with players and trying to improve their handle at the high school level. And doing what we did for decades and decades, like a lot of the times, doesn't really help. And so when you're talking about developing and the things that you should do to get better at dribbling, that's what I could weigh in on. Any kind of static dribbling where you're standing still doing it is worthless. And I know we see Curry do all that stuff, whatever. I would argue that a lot of the things he does, two ball drills in place, aren't really for the dribbling part. It's much for the hand-eye coordination and for the pickup into the shot. That, to me, is really where he's benefiting from that drill specifically. So when I've had success with a lot of different players improving their handles, when we got them up and moving so that they can now recreate a game situation a lot better. And I certainly don't like the notion of the machine gunning where you're doing as low as you possibly can and as hard as you can. That's not how the best dribblers dribble it. It's a lot higher by the waist. It's by the side of your body, and it goes backwards and then forwards. That motion there is a really key thing to being able to handle. And you watch these guys tonight. They pull the ball back. Booker is awesome at it. They're reaching in. They're trying to pressure him, and he just brings the ball back a little bit farther behind him, behind his waist, but near the side. And that's all you have to do. You don't need to have every kind of fancy version of through the legs, crossover, behind the back stuff. Just need to know that you can keep it up by the waist and bring it back behind you and then forward again. That's and then work on that while you're moving. And then you should be good to go.
For sure. So what would you say would be some drills like for that?
I mean, the drills I used to do were just like bringing the ball up, like working on. So you want to be able to dribble the ball and bring it back behind, you know, sort of behind your waist and then back forward. So that's a good drill just to go up and down while you're moving. Practice pulling the ball back and then bringing it forward. And that's all about hand placement, where you put the hand on the ball. You have to be very aware of where the ball is where your hand is on the ball. We didn't talk about that for decades and decades. The ball is on the top, the hands on the top, the hands on the side, hands on the inside, it's on the back of the ball, it's on the front of the ball. There's all these different hand positions you want to be able to go through and work on. So as you're just start with walking up the court and walking back down the court, you know, moving, work on that. Work on, okay, I'm going to dribble the ball at my waist, the hand on top of the ball. Now, or hand on top of the ball, hand on front of the ball, hand behind the ball, and, you know, on every side of it. And then as long as you don't go under, you're okay. So you don't need to have any complex, fancy drills with all these different, progressions. It's really just getting that feel of that and being able to manipulate the ball in those directions while you're moving, and then eventually faster and faster. So then you're jogging and then you're running. Once you start being able to do all that, then you should see a really good improvement.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I'll definitely try to work on that. And for a pick and roll, as you talked about last time, is like the most important thing for a guard in the game, right? So what would you say is the most important thing running a pick and roll as a ball handler?
Well, the most important thing these days, I mean, gosh, it's hard to come up with exact order, because obviously you want to be able to shoot the ball off of the pick and roll. And that's the biggest threat you can pose. Once that threat is established, then everything else can open up for you passing wise. So I would say, I would say that the jump, the shooting the ball off the pick and roll is the most important thing as a ball handler.
Yeah.
So from deep and from middle mid range.
Yeah, yeah. So like the pull up shot, the dip, like you talked about last time. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe, yeah, don't forget, you can dip off a dribble too. That's all part of that floating of letting the ball flow to your waist. Now, sometimes you do have to get your hand down low and snatch it off the ground quick once, and then you get right back where you were again. That's most of those guys. You watch the Currys and the Kyries. They do it quickly, but they always get back to where their nose are behind their toes, and they're in a good position, balance, to explode, but not be losing control of their balance. So, yeah, but yeah, for sure. The deep shot off of the dribble, off of the pick and roll, is really, really important.
Would you say practice a lot of side steps, step backs, or pull ups?
The side step is probably the more, you know, when I'm you're picturing the high enough ball screen where you're still behind the line. The side step, back steps, yeah, those step backs are really important as well. Yeah, to be able to handle that and be balanced and still be able to keep the ball straight. So for sure. And then remember, we have to go both directions. So you have to be very good going left and going right.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. That's all I wanted to talk about. Yeah, thank you for those advice.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And that is our show. Thank you guys for being here. A great one. I'm probably going to post the audio to this in my podcast. I'm starting to post those more. So if you missed it or missed a part of this and you want to hear it again, just subscribe to my podcast over on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you get it. And you can hear it again there. But again, great win by the Suns. I thought it was expected based on what we thought and how we saw them play, and now they're more certainly less beat up than the Bucks. But again, really impressive that Giannis was able to come back and play as well as he did. And you have to imagine he'll continue to get treatment. He'll probably be better in the next game. And then the Suns are going to have to really handle that a lot more. Be careful about someone like Jay Crowder. Probably won't go 0-for-7 again. He might score some more buckets on that end. And they're going to simply have to get more from Jrue Holiday if they want to have a chance in the series at all. They're going to have big games from him. So anyhow, well, thanks so much for being here. Great show. And don't forget, sports fans, at B-Ball Breakdown, not channel, we're a conversation. You in?